You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana, we greet you here today. Happy Thursday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday here with me here as we get into the Word of God today. Weekend's coming. I invite you guys to church this weekend. We would love to see you. I am in the book of Acts, as you know. That's what we're about to hear in a minute. The sermon I just preached this past Sunday. This coming Sunday, I will be in Acts chapter 8. And that's Acts chapter 8 and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going to look at here this coming week. We're going to look at the Samaritans. We're going to look at why the Holy Spirit didn't fall on the Samaritans when they had already believed and were baptized in the name of Jesus, but they didn't receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at the reason why they didn't receive the Holy Spirit at that time. That'll be this weekend. We'd love to see you. You'll hear that on the radio here coming up probably Tuesday and Wednesday next week. But if you are new to the area or looking for a new church home, I invite you to come and worship this weekend. We are at 1000, that's Island Community Church, 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Our service starts around 10:35 Sunday morning. You can look for the sermons on our YouTube page, Island Community Church. It's broadcast live on our Facebook page, same name, Island Community Church. And I invite you guys to come and attend in person. You'll be warmly greeted by this awesome church family here at Island. Okay, let's get into the Word now. This is the next part. This is part two, the last part of this sermon from last Sunday. We're in the sixth chapter of Acts. So one church hates the Nicolaitans, the other church embraces them. The common denominator was Jesus hated it. He hated them. So what did this Nicholas do, and what was his doctrine, as I said, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? What was it that Jesus hated so much? What did these guys do that he hated so much? Now, this doctrine is known by one word. See if I can pronounce it. Antinomianism. Nomos is the Greek word for law. Anti, sound like Yosemite Sam, right? That's against the law. No, that's not what this meant. This meant phooey. It doesn't matter how you live. Live however you want. This was the rage back then, antinomianism, that how you live is insignificant. You know, the Lord already died. He already died for all your sins. He died for all the sins you're going to commit tomorrow. So what's the big deal with how I live? That's what this was. Living however you like with no regard to sin. And this doctrine, antinomianism, is alive and well today in the church. These feel-good churches, this is alive and well today. Churches that teach it doesn't matter how you live. They say your spirit is saved, your flesh is no good. So it doesn't matter how you live. You're free. You're free to sin. You're free to live however you want. But the Apostle Paul answers that lie in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. He says, what shall we say then? He said, shall we continue to sin so that God will look good? What does he say? Meganoito. God forbid you read in the King James Version. He says, are you out of your mind? After all that Jesus did on the cross, you want to continue to sin because he died for you? You want to make him look good? You've lost your mind is what he's saying. This is why this is the group that he hates. After all that we just did it here a minute ago. Do this in remembrance of me that Jesus died in your place on the cross. Why in the world would you continue to sin on purpose after that? Why would you do that? Jesus hates this doctrine. And why wouldn't he? Verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now in verse 8, we're introduced to another early saint and deacon. His name was Stephen. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some of what is called the synagogue. All right, so these guys are Jewish folk. This is where the problem's going to come in. So you got to remember, the Christian faith is still weeks old. So there still was a problem. There still was a problem trying to tell a Jewish person he can go out and have a plate of spare ribs or a pulled pork platter. There still was a problem with that. So then there arose, this is verse 9, Acts chapter 6, verse 9. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. All right, so when you can no longer stand the truth, you revert to what you do best, right? Lie. When you can't win, you lie. Just like all the elections in this country. Or kill. But Jesus said in John 8:44, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So sooner or later, to use an old poker term, everyone's got to play their whole card here in this world. A whole card, what you're hiding in your hand that no one else can see. Sooner or later, you've got to play your cards. You've got to reveal who you really are. When some people lie, they speak their native language. And they finally will appear as a tare. If you guys remember, we looked at that at harvest time. Verse 11. Now here comes their plan. Induce people to lie for them, because that's what these people do. When you can't refute the truth, you just lie, that's all. You lie and you kill. Verse 11. So they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. You see, now it's time to silence the messenger. Just like they do in this country. John F. Kennedy, his brother Bobby, Martin Luther King Jr., Donald J. Trump. Now remember when I told you when these sermons come to me, Monday, you'd think this was a little add-in or something after what happened last night, but it's not an add-in. Good Lord, this is the third or the fourth time with that. You don't like the message, you shoot and kill the messenger, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not playing politics. I don't care. I'm a godist. I follow him, not politicians. Because they all do this kind of stuff. But you're seeing that this MO goes back thousands of years. When you don't agree with the message or if you can't refute it, then you either send liars out or you kill the messenger. That's the way that they deal with these things. Nothing's changed. See, the idea that someone other than a politician can run the country will bring out the same things in people today. Now, that's not a support of the current president. That's just a spiritual truth. Verse 12, so they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not speak to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. He didn't do any of that stuff. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. All right, so here we've got Stephen. Face resembles the face of an angel. When people can't handle the truth, the enemies of the truth must do what they do best, silence the speaker of truth, regardless of the cost. That's your only choice. You got to silence the speaker. You know, to them, the ends justify the means. And coming up momentarily, this is what's going to happen to Stephen. Now, in chapter 7, Stephen is going to recite the entire history of the Jewish nation, which we won't cover today. Otherwise, we'd be here until 4 o'clock today. So chapter 7, verse 1, the high priest will ask Stephen, are these things so? That is, are all these accusations against you, are all these accusations true? And in response to that question, Stephen's going to go all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then Joseph, Moses, the Exodus out of Egypt, then David, and then Solomon. And then from there, Stephen's going to blame the religious leaders at the time for all the trouble that the nation of Israel was in. Verse 51, and a modern example of how to get yourself killed. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, just as your fathers did, so do you. Boy, that'll certainly win over some converts, huh? What do you think? See, what we're seeing now is this, is just like Peter in the earlier chapter, so it is now. It's not Stephen speaking now, but the Holy Spirit is speaking now. This is how he can talk like this and say this. Like, you remember, Peter said, you guys denied him. And you, I'm like, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? He did the same thing. But you see, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter. Here it's the Holy Spirit speaking through Stephen. That's why the word you is here and not I or us or we. So catch these phrases. You stiff-necked people. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Now more of the same. Verse 52. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth, like some piranhas. So there's the tale of two people. When Peter gave a similar sermon and accused them in the same way of killing the Prince of Life, the Bible says that they too were cut to the heart, just like these guys were. But that group of people cried out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they cried out, how can we make this right? While this group of people also cut to the heart, it says they gnashed at him with their teeth. I wonder what that looked like. How do you gnash it? How do you gnash at someone with your teeth? A big old pair of fake chompers or something. How do you gnash at something? You see, that's got to mean something else. They certainly were mad at him for saying this. Now, there's your two possible responses to the direct probing by the very Son of God himself. as he himself says to you, through another man or woman, through me, or through the pages of your Bible maybe that someone gave you, when he says to you, you, sir, are a sinner, or you, madam, help to put the Son of God up on the cross, there's two classic responses to that. How do you respond to that? There's either one of two. You're both cut to the heart. How do you respond? You can either respond saying, men and brethren, what shall we do? Good Lord, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty. My sins put the Son of God on the cross. You've convicted me. Where do I go from here? God help me. I'm guilty. That's one way. Or you can get out the fake chompers and you can gnash at the speaker with your teeth, which must be a figure of speech for being enraged or infuriated at somebody or someone and attacking them as if they were some kind of ICE agent. Now, these guys chose option two because they were not of God. Because option one says, men and brethren, what shall we do? My sins help put the Son of God on the cross. All right, you've convicted me. I feel guilty. I feel convicted by this. What do I do? What does he say, right? Repent and believe the gospel. That's your one response. The other is to kill the messenger, like they do today when they hear a message that they don't like. Send out liars against them and kill the messenger. Those are your two options. Kill the messenger or turn and repent and make it right. Those two. These guys chose option two because they were not of God. Those who belong to him choose option one. Eventually, you see, even the Apostle Paul here, as we get to chapter 8, he's going to be known by Saul here. Even the Apostle Paul is going to choose option two coming up here in a minute. Remember, this is the man that wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. He's going to choose option two here coming up. He is going to be enraged at the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul hated Jesus. He was enraged at his name, which is encouraging for all of us, right? Don't give up. Thank God he never gave up on me. When they told me, you need an asbestos suit where you're going, Esposito. And if people would have had a chance, they would have spotted me as a tear and they would have pulled me up. And thank God Jesus said, no, you don't do that. You let them grow together until the harvest. And then at the end of the age, I'll do some harvesting. There's still hope for me yet. Even Paul chose option two here. Wasn't his time yet. We'll get to his time here. Acts is starting to turn now. We've gone through Peter for the first 7, 8, 9, 10 chapters. Now we're introduced to Saul here coming up in just a minute. But those who belong to Jesus choose option one. Eventually, maybe not on your timeline or when you would like to see it. Isn't that frustrating as well? You know, when people don't come to the faith when you demand them to, you know, or you give God, you know, God, I'm going to give you 6 weeks to do this. And after that, I'm just going to do it my own way. Or I'm going to root you up because you're a tear, because I gave you 6 weeks. He says, no, when you see a tear there among the wheat, he says, don't do a thing. Just keep on praying for him. Let them both grow together until harvest time. Those who belong to him choose option one. It's the third time. I can't get past this. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. And this, he says this to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are the things which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me so that you may have life. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. When I get up and preach to you and say, I am the bread of life, he who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Those who belong to him hear that as the voice of Jesus.
because it's his words and Jesus is the word of God. And when convicted like this, the elect will cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? I'm guilty. What shall I do? You've convicted me. Where do I go from here?" Or you can respond like these guys did. "How dare you call me a sinner? Don't you realize who I am? Don't you know the prestige of my family name? How dare you call me a sinner?" Those are your two ways to respond to this. You gnash at him with his teeth, or you say, "Men and brethren, what shall I do? You've got me. What shall I do?" You can repent or gnash. Repent or gnash. Repent or gnash. Verse 55. "But he," that's Stephen, "being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Look," or "behold, I see the heavens opened and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' So then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears." So I guess that's where the figure of speech, "la, la, la, la," came from, right? It says they blocked, they couldn't even hear this with their ears anymore. They had to cover their ears so they wouldn't hear this testimony. Heaven forbid you hear that God loves you, right? I mean, that's the charge over all humanity. The charge over all of you today is that God loves you. Now, that message got Jesus killed. That's the charge. Repent or gnash. Repent or gnash. So they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears. This is verse 57. And they ran at him with one accord. Or maybe they ran him over in an accord. They still think they're doing humanity a service. Just like those that shot and killed Martin Luther King thought they were doing humanity a service. Right? We can't have that. Just like those who killed John F. Kennedy thought they're doing humanity a service. We can't have any of that around here. So they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. There he is. First time in the Bible. The author of 13 New Testament books of the New Testament, his name was Saul, whose name later would be changed to Paul, whom I was named after. But here's Saul, and Saul's a, like, what do they call the people that jump off stages? They're like mashers, right? Where Saul's a gnasher instead of a masher, just like I used to be. Verse 59, he's a gnasher. He was like the cloak man in a hat room or something. Everyone brought their coats and jackets to him, laid him there at his feet. Later on in chapter 8, next week, he's going to go from house to house, dragging Christians out of the house by their tunics and having them put to death. By the writer of 13 New Testament books who someone told him that Jesus loved him, and that enraged him. That enraged him. Later, he's going to be knocked off his horse. We'll get to that. All right, verse 59. Let's close out this chapter. So they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then they knelt down, cried out with a loud voice. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep or died. Now the good news here is that although Saul was a gnasher of teeth, just like the others, God still had a plan for him. And God was still willing to forgive Paul for all of his sins and for persecuting the church. And God still has a plan for you today as well, which is why you're here today and why you're tuned in here today on the radio or on Facebook. regardless of how you've responded negatively in the past, God loves you today. That's the message. Even though you scorned him in the past, even though you used to be a gnasher, I pray today you'd be a receiver. Here's my mustard seed today. Last week we looked at mustard seeds. He said that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's the smallest seed known to man. Here's my mustard seed to you today. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not my burden to do anything with. I throw that out to you today. That's Romans 10:13. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what do you do today when you're cut to the heart? How can I make this right? Or shoot the messenger? Here in today's text, the Apostle Paul, Saul, chose option two. He hasn't run face to face into the Savior yet. That's coming up. One of the greatest conversions in the history of the Bible is Saul of Tarsus, the Christian hater, the hater of all things Jesus Christ, when he ran face to face into the Savior. That'll be coming up. And we'll close today with his words. He says, this is the faithful saying. That is, you can write this down and take it to the bank. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, so that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. This can be our doxology today. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The church said amen. All right, here's our highlights here today. What have we learned? Number one, there's only one group of people that Jesus ever hated, and that was the religious leaders and the followers who taught that it doesn't matter how you live, because it does matter how you live. After all that Jesus did, dying in our place on the cross, it does matter how we live. Number two, thousands of years ago, people were still the same. If you don't like the messenger and the message, then it's okay to lie, and it's okay to kill the messenger. Number three, the Apostle Paul was an evil man, and he hated Jesus with a passion, and yet Jesus still loved him. Have a great week, everyone. God bless. We'll see you back next week.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, this is Denny Nugent with today's question, and it starts with a pop quiz. What character in the Bible said this, quote, "The good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want"? Well, let me eliminate some choices for you. It's not King Saul, not Judas Iscariot, or the rich young ruler. In fact, the character is actually a Christian. Well, John, can you answer our quiz and then help us understand how a Christian can talk like that?
Well, perhaps surprisingly, the answer to the question is the Apostle Paul, that noblest of all believers, that godliest of all Christians, that most sacrificial preacher of the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the man himself who is the author of 13 books in the New Testament, who is the model that so many of us follow. It was no less than he who said that the good that I want I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. And that, of course, in that passage in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25, he is a believer when he says that. He describes